backdrop is that the people were trying to justify themselves. So they were telling Jesus about these Galileans that were in the temple. And when they were there, they were murdered in the temple by Pilate. And, you know, the thought was they were just getting what they deserved. That's what they thought. You know, it figures the Galileans, they're just getting what they deserve. You know, Josephus, a Jewish historian, when he writes about the Galileans, he said they were the most insidious group. They were always trying to cause sedition. Out of all the wars and the war of the Jews and all the problems that they had, the Romans had with them, the Galileans were the main people behind it. And one day they were in the temple offering a sacrifice, and Pilate sent soldiers in and killed them at the very brazen altar where their blood was mingled with the sacrifice. And the Pharisees are like, yeah, they're getting what they deserve. And he said, do you think they were sinners more than you are? I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he said, furthermore, you know the people that the tower fell, of Siloam fell on those people? And we don't find an account of this in history, but what people think that it was is Pilate went and robbed the treasury of the Jews, and he went to build an aqueduct to bring water into the city with that money. And people think that when he was building this aqueduct and building one of the towers there, people died. And maybe that's true or maybe not, but the Jews might have been thinking, yeah, well, they were on Pilate's payroll. Of course they deserve to die. Of course, that's what happens when you do things like that. And that's what happens to those kind of people. And Jesus went against the popular opinion, and he said, no, they're not worse than you. And except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And what he was saying is that wholesale judgment was on the way to the nation of Israel, unless they repented. He said, you're going to be destroyed. The whole nation is going to be judged unless national repentance comes about. Jerusalem will be destroyed very soon. And then to illustrate that truth, he gives the parable that we just read of the unfruitful tree to illustrate the urgency of the message. And he said this, when he said this, and he said, let's cut it down. Why is it cumbering the ground? And the dresser said, well, wait a minute. Let's give it one more year. And what Jesus is telling them is that unless repentance occurs within the next year, you're doomed. It has to happen within the next year, or you're going to meet the same fate as those other people. And here, let's start the parable and see what we can get. But here's the truth. Our time is limited, and our productivity and usefulness to God is always being weighed. Our time is limited, and our productivity and usefulness to God is always being weighed. Remember, he said, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Remember that? It's being weighed. And that's a sobering thought, isn't it? That's a sobering thought. That God would look at the tree and say, should I leave this tree here? Or should I cut it down? That's not very Joel Osteen-esque. It's not. But it's true. And it's something we need to grasp this morning. Our time is limited, and our productivity and usefulness to God is something that he considers. Look at verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Now, the certain man in this parable is the Lord. The fig tree is Israel. And we can take application from that. A comparison to a man and a tree is very common in the Scripture. And human works compared to fruit is also common in the Scripture. The product of a tree's life and the reason it exists is fruit. And it follows that obedience and service and holiness to God is should be the product of a man's life. And it should be something that God can expect. You know, when a man plants a tree, they expect to find fruit at the right age and at the right season of the tree. And when they do not find the fruit on the trees that they planted, their reasonable, justified expectation is disappointed. And it is natural for God to look for fruit of obedience and love from the people he cares for. That's natural, and that's right for him to do it. It's reasonable that he would be upset when he finds no return. Do you agree with that? Think about this. You are more God's property than a tree ever is the property of a farmer. All the farmer does is plant the tree. You know what God did? He created you. He sustains you and he gives you breath. And if a farmer has the right to expect fruit from the tree, God has a much greater right to expect fruit from your life. And he's disappointed when he does not find it. Look at the rest of the passage here in verse 7. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard. Now that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who that represents in this passage. He said, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, talking about the nation of Israel, and find none. And God is saying to Jesus, cut it down. Why is it burdening, cumbering the ground? Why is it just stealing good resources that could go somewhere else? And Jesus is the one that intercedes on the behalf of the fig tree. For 3 years, Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he was looking for them to do a couple things. To accept him as the Messiah. To receive him. To believe on him. To listen to him. And they didn't do it. And they didn't do it. So why should he leave them there any longer? Why should he do that? It's just taking up room. And the simplest course of action is just to cut it down. The most reasonable course of action is just to take it away. Listen, if we are not bearing fruit for God, according to John 15, the most reasonable course of action for God to do is just to take us out. That's the most reasonable thing for him to do. But look what Jesus says here in verse 8. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. You know what Jesus says? He says, let's give them a little bit more time before we go to plan B. Just give me another year with Israel. Give me one more year, and in that year, I'll give that tree more opportunity. I will cultivate it. I will fertilize it. And you know what he's referring to? He's referring to the amount of time before judgment was set. During that year, you know what they had opportunity to do? Repent, and things could have been different. They had an opportunity. He said, give me one more year, and I'm going to dig it about, and I'm going to dung it. And if it bears fruit, well, if not, then we'll go to plan B and we'll cut it down. You know, Jesus, when he came over Jerusalem, and Luke chapter 19, you can see it here on the screen, it says this, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now are they are hid from thine eyes. Verse 43, for the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. And verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They had one more year to receive the Messiah, and then judgment was going to be set. And that's what happened when Titus came in. And Archelaus came in before that, and he killed people in the temple, just like this story. And Josephus says he killed so many of them that the bodies were heaped up in the temple. And the destruction of Jerusalem, if you read the historical events about it, you can read it in Josephus, you can read history, it was just so brutal. And it was so bad. What happened? And he said, except you repent, and if this year, and they didn't know that. They didn't know that God was watching, and after a year, judgment would be set, and he would go to plan B. You know what the Jews did? They rejected Jesus for 3 years, and then they crucified him. And you know what the Lord did because he was so good? 6 months later, he's still trying to reach them through Peter. He's still trying to reach them. Peter's preaching, there's revivals in Jerusalem. And you know what they did? They rejected him, and then they took Stephen out to stone him. And when Stephen was being stoned, he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The opportunity was still there for them to receive the Messiah. And they stopped up their ears and they ran on him and they stoned Stephen and they killed him. And you know what the Lord said? He sat back down and he said, okay, we're going to plan B and we're going to start dealing with the Gentiles now. And then you find out that Paul goes and he starts working with the Gentiles, and the Gentiles, it didn't have to happen that way. They could have went into the millennium. Jesus said, if you receive it, this is John the Baptist. This is Elias talking about John the Baptist. But they didn't understand. They had 1 year and then judgment was set. He's saying, we'll give you one more year. We should take application from that. You know, trees, they have a natural measurement for their life. Anybody that has grown a fruit tree can tell you that. You know what fruit trees do? They measure time. And you know what you can do? Every year, you should be able to come to that tree once a year at a certain season and expect fruit. Isn't it incredible that God built this time of a year into plants? There's perennials, there are annuals, there's whatever you call them. Isn't it incredible that God built into the plant life the timeline that represents the year? And it doesn't get off? Isn't that incredible? We're not like that, you know? We're not like that. There's no natural time that we come to a man and expect to find fruit. But God does. And so you know what we do? We measure our life by the tree's life. We measure our life by the plant's life. And we design our seasons, spring and summer and fall and winter, all around the trees and the plant's lives. And we put these things there that are not natural for us so we can know that we have some things to do. And there's some things that, that are expected to be done. So we measure our life by that. And you know what we say about this? We say, welcome to 2022. We say, Happy New Year. And we congratulate one another for seeing the dawn of a new year. Praise the Lord. God gave us 365 days, and now we have seen the beginning of a new year. But with that should also come the expectation that sometime in the next year, God's going to come, and He's going to be looking for fruit, and He's going to expect to reap a harvest. That's why He gave us this year also. That's why, because He expects something from our lives. He said, after that year, I'm going to come back, and if there's no fruit, it's been long enough, and it's time for judgment. Now, the fact is this, 2022 will be someone's last year. And whoever that is doesn't know that. The fig tree didn't know that this was his last year. The fig tree didn't understand Greek. It didn't. So when Jesus and God are standing in front of this fig tree, discussing the last year of this fig tree's life, the fig tree didn't know. You know, the Bible says about the Jews, if they had known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know. And you and I do not know if this is our last year. We don't know. But it's a very sobering thought. And it's one that we should have. Your time is limited. And your productivity and usefulness to God is being weighed. And God says it's enough, cut it down. And Jesus intercedes and says, let's just give it a little bit more time. And I'm going to dig it. And I'm going to dung it. I'm going to bring some affliction and problems and storms into this people's lives, and we'll see what happens. So what should we do? Well, I think number one, we should take a look back. He said in verse 7, these 3 years, talking about the past 3 years, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. This tree, not all the trees, but this tree, this individual tree. And I think we should reflect back on the previous year. And I think that we should look and see if there has been any spiritual fruit. I want you to think about the last year. I don't know if you remember New Year. I remember I thought that COVID was over, and everything was going to go back to normal, okay? And I thought that 2021 would be a lot different than it was, okay? But I want you to think about that last year and reflect, and I want you to look for one thing, spiritual fruit. Has the Lord gotten the fruit from your life in 2021 that He desired? Has there been an increasing amount of your love and time that's devoted to the Lord? Have you grown in your knowledge of Him? Have you worked with the Lord to overcome some pet sins in your life, some besetting sins, some things that have just always been there? Are they gone? Have you grown to depend on the Lord more than anything, people or substances, or is the Lord your comfort? Have the things of this world, think about this, have the things of this world during the last year become less important or more important? Your retirement account, your bank account, your vehicles, your earthly possessions, have they become more important or less important? Because if we're getting closer to God, those things by year and by day should continue to have less significance to us. They should. Have they? What about your devotional life? You know, the Lord expects us to spend time with Him, to sit at His feet and listen to Him, and dutifully open our Bible and sit at His feet and attend upon Him. He expects that from us. Did you do that last year? He also wants to hear from us. Did you pray? How often last year was prayer your first line of defense instead of your last line of defense? Have you grown in, God, I know you can take care of this. Lord, I trust you. I know this is from you. Have you grown in that? How many times has the Lord heard your voice? The child calling unto his father. Fathers and mothers, how did you do with your children? Did you guide them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord this last year? Did you do anything spiritual with them? Did you pray for your kids and try your best to train them in the right path? Or were you distracted by lesser things? Think about it. Reflect back. These 3 years I come seeking fruit and finding none. Husbands, wives, did you honor God by honoring your spouse? Did you treat them with kindness? Did you treat them as they are a child of the King first and loaned to you? Did you grow together in your service for the Lord? Were you a team for the Lord? Children. There's children in here. Let me ask you, the kids, a question. Did you honor your parents? Did you obey them? Did you seek God on your own? Or did you just do what mom and dad told you? At any point during the last year, did you come to God as a child and say, look, I need you, not just that my parents need you, but I need you. You need to do that. Your parents' relationship with God is not good enough for you. You have to find God on your own. Did you do that? How were you at school? Let me ask you this. How many of you kids go to school? Let me see your hands. You go to school. Were you an example for the Lord at school? Did you stand up for the Lord? Were you a testimony? Did you show that you were a child of the King and lived to please God? We're about to go back to school next week, right? And you are going into the devil's territory. I'm telling you, even if your kids go to a Christian school, they're going into the belly of the devil. I know that. My kids go to a Christian school. It's satanic, okay? The influence, and not because of the school, but because the influence of the children. And you know what you need to do? You need to stand for the Lord. And you need to live for God and do what's right. And be a testimony and try to reach those other kids. Did you do that? Listen, what was last year like? This was a privileged tree. It was planted in the Lord's vineyard. A vineyard is a place for grapevines. But there was a fig tree planted there. That means it was probably in the center. It was a centerpiece. The center of God's care. Think about how God had been to Israel, gave him the law and the prophets. He gave him Jesus, the Messiah. Man, God was so good to them. Hasn't God been good to us? Aren't we privileged? Man, God grafted us in and gave us a godly heritage. You know, we have the same heritage as Abraham and David. God grafted us into that and made us partakers of those blessings. Just as you've been a son, God has made you that way. Thank God He gave us a chance. And no matter what you could say about last year, you could reflect back and say, God was good to give me another 365 days to praise Him. It was the right kind of tree. It was a fruit tree. It wasn't just a run-of-the-mill tree. When God saved you, He didn't do a partial job. He put the Holy Spirit in you, and He put something inside of you that will produce fruit if you let it. Well, God has been good. I'll tell you, looking back, no matter what happened, good or bad, last year, I feel very privileged to have been a child of the Lord, planted in His vineyard. I've been planted in a church where there's people that love the Lord, and the point of their life is to please Him. Nothing else, just to please God, whatever they do. Even in trials, even in death, God has been good. And I think it would be a very big mistake to go on without looking back at the goodness of God and reflecting. He's seen us through trials. He's blessed us. He's increased us. He's pruned us. People have been saved this year. We've been given fruit, and fruit that remains. This tree was well connected. Someone was interceding for it. You know, the Bible says that the Lord sits at the right hand of the Father to intercede for you. Man, aren't we privileged? Amen. I'm telling you, look back. Think about all the things that happened last year. You know what the Lord was doing? He was there saying, God, this is what He needs. This is what He needs. Garth Brooks had friends in low places. I have friends in high places. I have the Lord. Man, I have been so privileged, born again. And I want you to invite you to look back over 2021. Have we been a privileged bunch? You know, every person I've ever known comes to the end of their life. They always reflect back over the good times and the bad times, the mistakes and the victories. And you know what they say after it all? Every one of them? God is good. God is good. What would you do if you had one more year? Well, I'd start by reflecting on the grace of God. Then I would also take a look forward. He said in verse 8, He said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about and dung it, if it bear fruit well. If not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. This year also. Can you believe the Lord's given us another year? What a testament to His mercy. Another chance to do something for Him. Another day to repent. Another day to begin anew. To allow Him to mold us into the people He wants us to be. And this year also. We are living on borrowed time. This fig tree was living on borrowed time. It should have been cut down, but He said this year also. The wages of sin is death. If you're breathing today, you're living on borrowed time. This wasn't the first time He came to the tree looking for fruit, but in vain. You know, I think back over your years, your youthful years. Did God find any fruit there? Or was it a misuse of those years? Then you became a man. Did God find any fruit there? You know, many of us are in the prime of life. We've spent many years on this earth. On the 24th of January, I will be 40 years old by the calendar. 40 years old. Are we 40 and we say that the locust and the cankerworm and the caterpillar have come and taken all the years away? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Have we reached the halfway point and don't know what we're doing? Ponder the path of your feet. Look ahead. Where are you going to end up if you keep traveling at the same rate of speed down the same road? Where are you going to end up? Are we fools at 40? A half a century old by the calendar and we haven't reached the years of maturity, spiritually speaking? Unsaved at 60, unregenerate at 70, unawakened at 80, unrenewed at 90. The sound of this year also should make us want to have a year to lay at the Lord's feet. You know, in Leviticus it said, when you plant a fruit tree, you don't take anything from it for 3 years. And then you know what the fourth year is for? It's all for the Lord. And he came this 3 years seeking fruit and finding one. You know this fourth year is? It's the Lord's year. And you know what this next year should be above anything else? It should be for the Lord. Let's give him the crop that he deserves. This year also, what a privilege with such a great purpose to bear fruit for him. He has an expectation. He's coming in 1 year. Let him find the fruit that he's looking for. You know, I've seen the Lord continually for the past 15 years. You know what he does? He prunes dead branches and he cuts out dead trees and unfruitful trees. Every time there's a person and they're not where God wants them to be, they haven't engaged and there's just something not right, it's a matter of time until you get right or it's cut off. You know, I was just talking to Isaiah the other day, and he said, "Where's so-and-so?" I said, "They're not doing too good. This is going on." "Well, where's so-and-so?" "Yeah, they fell off the wagon." "Well, where's so-and-so?" You know, when he used to come here, there was a whole back row full of young people. And he's pretty much the only one left of that group. Why? The time was up. There's a period of time where God says, okay, he's trying to work with them. And then after that period of time is over, he said, okay, let's go on. And they're not here. And they're in bed, and they're doing other things, and they're in the grave, and they're in all kinds of other places. Why? Because he seeks fruit, and he finds none. And God's looking for something. Look, this is sad to say, but not every one of us will be here next year. Some of people will just be in a different place. Some people will be in heaven, some people will be in hell, some people will be just out. Some of you, the year's probably already almost up. You know that? I don't know when it started, but you're hanging on by a thread. You're not serving God. You're not where God wants you to be. God's been trying to work with you and trying to work with you, and you've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and not taking it seriously. Listen, it's just a matter of time till you're completely out. And that's sad, but God can't have you cumbering the ground. You got to get right. You got to get there where God wants you to be. You have to start following God and producing fruit for God. Listen, this 1 year was at the mercy's pleading. This 1 year was just because Jesus pleaded for it. But alas, even when Jesus is asking for mercy, it has a time limit. He's looking for fruit. He's seeking fruit. The Lord's coming and he's going to look for this. Look at Galatians 5:22 and 5:23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. These are not things that you can fake. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. These are your inner motivations. This is who you are. And God is coming and he's going to look for you to be a different person. And he's going to be looking for these things in your life. What's preventing the fruit? You know what the Lord said he would do? Two things. He said he would dig it about and dung it. You know what digging is? It's cultivating. You know what happened? I had all this grass and I dunged it, I fertilized it, and it didn't grow. And so I dug it about and I found all these grub worms in there. And they were killing all the grass. You know what God's going to do? He's going to cultivate and he's going to try to get some stuff out of your life that's preventing that fruit. He's going to try to remove some of those grub worms. And then you know what dunging is? It's giving. It's adding something. Cultivation is removing. Dunging is adding. Sometimes there's not fruit in our life because there's a grub worm, but sometimes there's not fruit in our life because there's no fertilizer there. There's something missing that God needs, and He's trying to put that in to produce the fruit. Mercy holds back. Listen, it's either the spade or the axe. One more year. Are you going to give it to God? You going to give it to God? You know, I used to think when I was a child, you know, if I knew I was going to die this year, I would do this, 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 and this. You know what Christians say? You know, if I knew the Lord was coming back this year, then I would do this, 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 and this. And then you know what occurred to me one day? If it's important enough to do with the last year of your life, it ought to be important enough to do with the rest of your life. If you do it when you're dying, why not do it now? If it's so important that you would do it with the last hours of your life, then for the Lord's sake, do it now. If this is our last year, it should be given to God. And then the last thing I would do is I would make a plan. I would make a plan. He said in verse 8, He said, "Let it alone this year also till I shall dig it about and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then I'll cut it down." He made a plan, didn't he? He said, "This is what I'm going to try to do to bring about fruit in this tree's life." It implies a limit, and I don't know if the tree was listening. I don't even know if trees can listen. I don't know if the tree cared about living, but I know he was talking about Israel, and he was referring to the coming disaster that would take place at one time. And they had a year to make a difference. One year to get things straightened out. You know, we always have this sense in us that we need to accomplish something before we die, don't we? God put that in us. You know, I remember I have a friend that was dying. His name was Gene Barnes, and he was restless. And I said, "Brother, what's going on?" And he said, I wanted to give my truck to my nephew, but he doesn't have a driver's license, so I can't put it in his name, and I don't know what's going to happen when I die." And so I printed out the V-22 form, and I got the title, and I said, "Look, you just sign it right here. When they figure it out, they'll come fill in the details, and it'll be all taken care of." And he signed his name for the last time, and he laid back, and he said, "Now I can die." He had this sense. You know, we have that sense, don't we? We have to do some things. We have to set our house in order. We got to get some things done. And you know what I would do? I would amp up that natural drive that God put in you to make a plan to do something spiritual for God. I would amp it up. You know, I remember when I was a child, sometimes there was a growing up, and I don't know if any of you had experiences like this, but there would be fights that occurred in the house, you know? And dishes would be thrown. Bottles would be broken. I remember Louisiana hot sauce being shattered against the wall and dripping down. And you know what would happen the next morning? We would get up and clean up the pieces and try to put our life back together and go on. But we moved around a lot. And I remember thinking as a kid, every time we moved to a new house, I would think, "Well, maybe this is going to be the place that nothing bad happens." And thank God I finally moved into that house. Praise the Lord. I don't live in a house anymore where we're going to wake up the next morning and put our life back together and clean all the glass up. Praise the Lord. Amen? But I had that thought. And I remember talking to some guys, and they'd get a new phone, and they say, "Man, I think this is going to be the phone that never has anything bad on the hard drive." And you know what God's done? 2022, He's given us a brand new year. He's given us a brand new year. Can this be the year? Can this be the year where we go ahead and make a plan and get some things right and get some things done for God? Make a plan. What does God want you to do? You know, we had this thing happen with, you know, the kids going to school and all the things my wife and I have to do, and we get so busy, and so sometimes, you know what happens? The chores of the house, they kind of just go by the wayside, and then before you know it, it's like this huge mess, and it takes so much time and effort to clean it up. And I don't know about you, but I'm just depressed when the house is dirty. I'm depressed. It tempts me to do bad things, and it's just horribly depressing. And so I said, we can't live like this. I can't be putting all this stuff on my wife. So I made a chore list, and every day I divided up the jobs and the personnel. Your children are personnel, by the way. Divided it up. This is what everybody does every day. And you know what it did? It changed our lives. Just one simple little plan. It completely changed our lives. It changed the way we live. And we always wanted to do it. And we always talked about doing it. My wife and I have been talking about doing that for 6 years. But one day we did it. And that was the day things changed, when we put a plan into place. What does God want you to do? Is it your devotional life? Does it have to do with your service for God, witnessing? Does it have to do with marriage and ministry? If you don't know, have someone help you put together a plan. Because Jesus is coming, and he's looking for fruit. The judge is coming, and he's looking for fruit. Let's hear his voice before the day is gone. Let me ask you this. Are you prepared for this to be your last year? Are you prepared to hear the midnight cry? Are you ready? This will be one of our last year. Probably more. It will be. There's people in here that have less than 365 days to live. Less than 365 days. That's true. We know not what a year may bring forth. And are you ready? Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet him? Because you must. Let's hear his voice before the year is gone. Lord, we come before you. And Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit and your words would wake up us, Lord. Awaken us to righteousness. Awaken us to the reality that you're looking for fruit. Our time is limited, and our productivity and usefulness to God is right now being weighed, Father. Lord, help us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you stand, and we'll have a song.
We'll be singing the hymn 283, Have You Any Room for Jesus? Thank you. Brother Cruz, you want to close us out in prayer today?
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have another year. I pray, Lord God, that you give us the wisdom. Father, I pray that you help us to focus on you. I pray, Lord, that everything that we do, in the center of everything that we do, Father, it's you. Please be with us and guide us as we go on through this new year. Help us to remain focused on you, and everything that we do is to honor and glorify you, Father. Please be with us on our way home. Protect us. Keep us safe. Until the next time, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.